So a quick question. Has anyone ever been pulled into the boss's office?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it starts out looking okay. You're at your desk. The boss is like, "Hey, man, come on. I wanna talk with you. Yeah, come on into the office." And it's like, "Oh, that's good." You get in there. He's like, "Shut the door, please. Have a seat." And it's not the comfortable chair. It's the folding chair. It's like, "Oh, no, what's going on?" And sometimes you're like, "I think I know what's going on. I've been late a lot. Or, oh, I botched up that report that was due. And, oh, yeah, oh, man, I didn't know copiers did that." So you know something's going on. Sorry, that one just came out. I don't know what's going on. My time here is limited. I gotta let it go. So you sit down with the boss, and he addresses with you your transgression. He's like, "Well, this is what happened," and you're like, "Well, man, I know the employee handbook, and I know that the rules say I ought to be fired." And then the boss, he gets a solemn look on his face, and he's like, "But that's not what we're gonna do today." He gives you some mercy. He gives you some grace. And he gives you another chance. Perhaps there's consequences. Maybe there's a dock and pay. Maybe there's a move of a position or station, a demotion perhaps. But he says, "You know what? I think that you can grow from this opportunity. And we're going to give you another chance." Well, today we're looking at the Bible, last week we started with 2 Timothy 3:16, and I started there to show that all scripture is beneficial. Whether it's a genealogy, whether it's poetry, whether it's historical narrative, all scripture is beneficial and good for us. So today we're actually looking at Genesis. We're going to go to the very first book of the Bible and look at Genesis 3:16. And so, like I said last week, all scripture is inspired. This week, we're looking at why we need scripture in the first place. And so I decided to show you this every week so we can kind of like mentally like, "Oh, okay, we've done that book. Oh, I wonder what that book has to say." Well, remember, only about, I think, 48 of the 66 have a 3:16. So a lot of those are already off the list. But we're going to look at Genesis 3:16, and to give a little scope of it, it's in the midst of the curses God is giving after sin has taken place. So God created a perfect world. He created mankind to govern the world, to take care of the animals and the garden and everything around it. And then the serpent comes into the garden. He deceives Eve. And then Eve shares sin with Adam. And then God seeks them out in the garden. He says, "Where are you?" They were hiding because they were naked. And God says, "Who told you you were naked?" They confessed their sin. They said, "This is what happened." And then, of course, they play the blame game. Why'd you do this? He was like, he said, "Oh, Adam, why'd you do this?" "Well, the woman you gave me made me do it." So he like pinned it on God. And Eve said, "Well, the serpent deceived me," which I guess was legit, but she decided to believe a talking snake over God. So God's like, "Well, there's no excuse for this." So he's actually, in the midst of this, pronouncing the curse, the consequences for their sin. So he's called them into his office. He's told them to shut the door, and he sat them down. All three of them, the serpent, Eve, and Adam. And 16 is in the midst of this passage, but let's look at this whole passage. It says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" And verse 16, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust. And to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. So what's happening here? I gave a little preface. Mankind was given a rule. So we know they sinned. I kind of covered that. But what was the sin exactly? Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Notice the underline, for in the day. Not if. It's a when. When you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, there's a couple of translations, a little weaker translations, in my opinion, that use the word if. But if you're looking at more word-word translations, it'll say when or for in the day. This is not, in God's mind, an if. God knows what's going to happen. He's saying, when you do this, you shall surely die. So this is the rule and the consequence given. Adam and Eve broke the rule. The serpent also sinned, and if the serpent is Satan, which we believe him to be, he also sinned in the deceiving of Adam and Eve. So as we go through this today, I want to introduce to you two words that sometimes we get mixed up. Sometimes we think they mean the same thing, and they're pretty close, but they don't mean the exact same thing. The first is mercy. The second is grace. But let's look at what mercy means. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. So God has the full authority, the full right, and the full ability to completely wipe out Adam and Eve because they sinned. That is within his power and his ability. And he even said, when you eat of this tree, you will die. So did God lie? Because they didn't die. No, God is not a liar. In fact, he introduced something at this point in time that we know now today. And here you got to put your science hats on here. The second law of thermodynamics. If you know anything about science and theories and laws, laws are the things that we have observed over and over and over and over again, and we say that no matter what happens, this is true all the time. So the second law of thermodynamics, we have observed enough that we say it will happen. What is the second law of thermodynamics? Is that everything decays. My wife and I just recently watched a thing on DNA. And how when you're born, and this is just an illustration, your DNA is like that long. But as you age, it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Because the ends of it decay. As it replicates and replicates and replicates. And that's why, partially why we show age, is because our DNA is getting shorter and replicating less. And so therefore we age. Prior to sin, there was no decay. Adam and Eve would have lived forever without decay, but then they sinned. So the moment they sinned, they started to die. So this is the first mercy. Adam and Eve were eternal. Sin came and decay started. Their DNA started to degrade. Their body started to wear out. It was slow at first. Took 930 years for Adam to die. Took a little less for the next generation. So some people lived a little longer. The longest recorded person was Methuselah at 969. But after the flood, it got significantly shorter and shorter and shorter. Abraham, 170 years, kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter. But God showed mercy. And instead of saying, you're going to die right this very second, death is now just part of your life. So God exceeded his promise with mercy. But we also got to remember that we're not just talking about physical death. Yeah, Adam and Eve died as a consequence of their sin. And we know that throughout Scripture is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the payment of sin, the wages of sin, is death. So physical death is a consequence of our sin, but spiritual death occurred the moment they sinned. They died spiritually, and we know that is because they hid from God, and God had to seek them out. God will always seek you out, even in your sin. So here they are in the garden hiding. They're ashamed of their nakedness. They're ashamed of their sin, but God still seeks them out, even though they are spiritually dead. Prior to this moment, God didn't have problems finding with them because he walked with them in the morning. He came and spent time with them. He was in relationship with them. But now they were covered with sin. They were separated from God. They were dead. But God in his mercy was still seeking them out. Which brings us to God's grace. So mercy is having the power to do something and not doing it. God's grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. The peace of God given to the restless. The unmerited favor of God. So this is the actual gift part. This is the punishment or the consequence that God is giving out. And instead of giving them what they deserve, which is death, gives them something different. So the very first human sin, God said, you will surely die, and death comes. But God exceeds his promise by giving them time to repent and turn away from their sin. And the grace is our 3:16 of the week. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing and bring forth. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. That doesn't sound like grace. That sounds like a punishment. But sometimes there's grace even in our consequences. Let's go over all three of these consequences. We're going to do them out of order. We're going to start with Satan's consequence. I think I have this book at home. I found this picture online. And I was like, oh, I like that picture of that serpent. I think I actually have that book at home. The serpent, he deceived Eve. He lied to her, and she followed his lie into sin. If this serpent is Satan, and we believe it is, I don't know if this is the moment when he fell or if he fell prior to this, but in his consequence, angels don't get a second chance. Angels don't get mercy and grace. The angel sinned. He is disfigured. He is restricted to the ground. So if we really think about it, this very well could mean no more heavenly access. He can't be in paradise anymore. And he will be the enemy of God and man forever. In the verse it says that his offspring will be destroyed by Eve's offspring. And the interesting thing about the Hebrew is it uses a word in that Hebrew that translates seed. And the word seed is used 205 times in the Old Testament. A lot of times it has to do with plants. The other good chunk of the time it has to do with a man giving his seed to the woman. This is the only time in all of Scripture where a seed is attributed to a female. So that can tell us a forecoming of a virgin birth Messiah. So a man who is God, but also human, will crush Satan and his sin. So this is a promise to Satan the serpent. Not grace. He doesn't get grace. Adam gets grace. Adam and Eve, and their consequences are full of grace. Adam's job was to keep the garden, grow food, take care of the animals, take care of the world that God has given him. The job was not taken away from him. He was not fired from his job, but obstacles were placed in the job to make the job harder. He now has to deal with weeds. He now has to deal with the animals who are now corrupted because of sin. Lions, whom he got to pet and play with, are now dangerous. And other animals, and so on and so forth. And so, the bees that were friendly before are now stinging him. His job got harder. And he began to decay, but he wasn't killed. Eve's consequence was full of grace. And this is our 3:16 for today. Her pain is multiplied in childbearing, but she is still able to have children. God's command in Scripture was also to multiply, to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. That's still her command. That job has not been taken away. She's not destroyed. She's still able to do that, but there is pain involved in it. Her desire shall be contrary to her husband, and he will rule over her. But she's not separated from her husband. They were separated from God. They were spiritually dead, but they're not being separated from each other. There's grace. And in that grace, they're being pointed back to a relationship with God. God's mercy and grace were shown to Adam and Eve. They had a rule, a consequence. It was very laid out. They should have known better. They did the wrong thing. And God says, but I'm not going to punish you in that way. I'm going to give you these consequences, but they're for a purpose. This is God extending his grace. And it's still here today. Mankind sin. Mankind sins every day. But even in our sin, God still pursues us. It says that in Romans 5:8. It says, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even as his enemies, God pursues us. Not to beat us down, although sometimes we are beaten down, but for peace and reconciliation. I'm thinking of this just now. There's one of my favorite poems, and you've probably seen it on the home of some Christian in your life, is The Footprints. And someone's walking along, and he's talking to God, and he says, God, so much of my life, I saw two pairs of footprints in the sand, but when my life was so hard and so difficult, I only saw one set of footprints. What's going on here, God? And God says, hey, it was in those most difficult times I was carrying you. And that's why you only saw one set of footprints. But I saw a comic strip once, and I love this comic strip, and it was meant to be comedic, but it was so true. He says, and what about the times that I saw two drag marks in the sand, God? And God was like, well, that was when I was dragging you along. Because God pursues us, and sometimes there's consequences, and sometimes they hurt. The wages of sin is death. We don't die right away for our sins because grace is extended. We're not given an easy life. If it were easy, if God had just said, oh, Adam and Eve, it's not that big of a deal. You can't live in the garden anymore because of the tree. But you know what? I'll make a place equally as good. And you just go live there, okay? No, that's not what he did. Because why would they even seek out God after that if everything was easy? So sometimes our consequences are painful, so that we know to turn and repent. Our 3:16 today was directed at women. That's just how it fell. I'm not the guy named Steve that put the verses in there. Could have very easily have been a different 3:16. So I'm picking on women. Yeah, it's what the Bible says.
That's from what's in the Bible, right?
What?
Is that a guy named Steve?
Yes, a guy named Steve. It is a guy named Steve. It was a Saint Stephen of something or other. I can't remember. I said it last week. But I call him a guy named Steve. It wasn't that Steve. But if ladies think I'm picking on them a little bit today, it's not me, it's the Bible. Because of Eve's actions, a consequence was given, but it was extended grace. Now, I've not experienced childbirth. I've been present for 5 childbirths. I know how much my hand has hurt after childbirth, but it's nothing compared to what I know my wife must have gone through. But one of the things that I've heard my wife and a lot of other women testify to when it comes to giving childbirth is it's pain with a purpose. And I can't say this for every woman, and I'm not a woman myself, but after the baby is born, I think the body is flooded with hormones and all this stuff, and the pain is all but forgotten because you have this beautiful bundle of joy. So it's pain with a purpose. So that's the consequence given to women, is pain will be multiplied for a purpose, but joy comes after. And I know couples argue. It's hurtful, often painful, and oftentimes it has a purpose. And I think that purpose is to draw us to the ultimate healer. Katie and I this March are going to go to a marriage conference called The Weekend to Remember. It's a wonderful conference. We went several years ago. We're going again this year. And one of the things that was said at the last conference that has really stuck in my head is, there's nothing so bad in your life that God can't heal it. But we must submit to that healing. And it can hurt sometimes. Submitting to healing, sometimes God lays his hand on us, or someone lays their hand on us, and via the Holy Spirit, someone's healed, and it's like instantaneous, and it's wonderful, and it's great. I know from testimony, the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, he had a disease that tore his body to shreds on the inside, and he was not able to swallow food for 18 months. It was torturous. It was horrible. It was agony. And then one day he just swallowed. God healed him. 18 months of pain and agony and grace. There was a purpose to that. And I think that purpose was when he finally did swallow, he was 100 miles away from the nearest doctor. He knew something was wrong with his feeding pump because it was clogged, and so there was absolutely no glory to go to a doctor when he was healed. It was like, I couldn't eat food, I couldn't do anything, I couldn't ingest anything, I just had some yogurt sitting in my mouth and I swallowed it. Glory to God. Sometimes our consequences are to point us to the ultimate healer, to point us back into relationship with him. Satan was stripped of grace. He was left mutilated and with the promise that one day he would be defeated. Man and woman, on the other hand, were extended grace and the opportunity to repent. Genesis 3:21 ends this passage. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Remember, they were hiding because they were naked. They were ashamed. They knew they had sinned. They knew they were not clean anymore. So the very first animal sacrifice took place. An animal was killed. And the skins of that animal were given to mankind to cover their sin. With Jesus, his death covered our sin and our shame, and he held us close. And today, as believers, he still covers our sin and our shame, and he holds us close. But sometimes we turn away and we need to be reminded to return to the ultimate healer. Let's close in prayer and prepare our hearts for communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. I don't know what every heart in this room is feeling. I know some of us have sin in our heart, and it drags us down. I pray that we turn to you, the ultimate healer, to guide us through. And it might be painful, and it might hurt, and it might be instantaneous and joyful. But we submit to your will and your way. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And before we enter into communion, I want to share the song with you again the last week to remind us that it's his word that teaches us. So stand and sing with us. Majority.
And